Blog Talk Radio.
I release and I let go. I let the spirit run my life, and my heart is open wide. Yes, I'm only here for God. No more.
Talk show. We welcome every listener that we have this evening and are truly thankful and appreciative of your tuning in with us. Tonight we would like to have some fun and talk about things that we just enjoy about the holiday season. You know, those unforgettable moments, those things that we think about and just make us laugh so hard, so very, very hard. We'd also like to share tonight about some of the memorable things, the very sensitive things that we just remember about our loved ones and those things that just make the holiday so special, the expectation that we have when we're looking to go home and visit, or we're looking forward to those people who are going to come and visit us and the funny things that they will do, or the really sweet things that we enjoy with those people. So we want to take time tonight just to recognize, first of all, the people who put the International Black Summit together. We always like to honor the people who put the work in, and also tonight we would just like to give thanks for those who gave their time in establishing the International Black Summit Talk Show. We are so appreciative as it moves into its second season, which is actually almost a third year. Excuse me, but we'd like to honor the people who put the work into the International Black Summit Talk Show and everything else that goes along with the summit and its event. So as we listen and wait for those of you to call in, and share with us, I'd like just to talk about some of the things that we're looking forward to doing next year, along with our talk show, expanding the conversation of the talk show as well as the summit. Our summit event is taking place in London, England. And it's always the first weekend of August, the first full weekend of August is when it takes place. And next year, 2009, it will take place in London, England. There's a registration fee, an early bird registration fee, as we call it. And that early bird registration is only $150. And that's for the event itself from Thursday through Sunday. And it includes, you know, the registration for the conversation. And after December 31st, it increases. But until that day, which is exactly 31 days away from today, it's only $150. So really think about registering for the summit event for next year. While after you register, what's available is that you have that you participate in one of the summit shares or a prerequisite. So either one of those will prepare you for the summit event that takes place in August. We have those events all over the United States and in other countries. Those prep things that we go through, which is, you know, like I said, it's either a summit share where there's a group of people who will get together and talk about, you know, what the event actually is and does, as well as a prerequisite, which actually prepares a person who is intending on going to or participating in the summit event. And so you have a choice of doing either one of those as we move forward through the year. So registration is just registration. It's an intention plus payment that you will attend the event in August of 2009 of $150. And then as that year, as the year progresses, you will be in touch with people who will introduce you to the information as well as, you know, what the summit offers. And you can also find us online at Blog Talk Radio or at blacksummit.org and find out information about that also. When we talk about the holidays, we know because of the many different backgrounds, religions, and practices that we have in the International Black Summit, we cover everything, and we celebrate with all of our brothers and sisters from every race, every religion, every practice, and as we do that, we think about and include experiences from all people. When we get together, we share those things. That's one of the things that you will experience in the summit is getting to understand the practices of others and those who share in different faiths than you might have. And it's a wonderful, wonderful experience that is a part of the International Black Summit. We talk about our holidays and our times, our special times with family and friends and colleagues. There's always a funny story about a party or a funny story about a something that has gone on in your house or somewhere that you've gone. And I guess I'll just start it. And I guess the funniest thing that has occurred, not the funniest thing, but one of the things that has occurred that was really, really something that I will always remember, is being an expectation and just wanting to do something different to just contribute to the holiday and just do something that would just be special. And there's a friend, a very good friend of mine, who decided when she was pregnant that she would dress up as Santa Claus and that she would go around with this bag of presents and candy and, you know, little special gifts and give to people that she knew who had children. And so she, you know, she got dressed and she put, it wasn't a regular Santa Claus outfit. It was an outfit that she put together out of things that she had in her house. She happened to have the black boots and the red pants and the cheesecloth for a beard. And, you know, just had the Santa Claus cap and everything like that. And she just, you know, she had this great look for on Christmas morning. And she got up, and it wasn't early. It was about, I guess, probably 10 or 11 o'clock. And, you know, all the children were up by then. And she went driving down the street, waving to people and, you know, going past churches where she knew there would be a lot of children and, you know, doing things like that and just had a really good experience. And she got to one of her friend's houses and rang the doorbell. And the doorbell was, like, on the first level, and the person lived on the second level. And when she rang the doorbell, a little 8-year-old girl started screaming that to her mother to please come and open the door, because of course she wasn't to open the door for anyone, that Santa Claus was at the door. And the little girl screamed and screamed and jumped and hollered up and down and whatever until her mother came and opened the door. Excuse me, only to find out that this was a friend of hers who were dressed up as Santa Claus. Well, the little girl knew the lady, but from that day forward, she believed that the lady was Santa Claus. And so every time the woman came over, every time she'd call her, she would expect her to be Santa Claus from that point on and to bring gifts. And she was asking her if she could go places with her and if she could prepare and that kind of thing, because she not only did she believe that the woman was Santa Claus, but she believed that she was special because she knew Santa Claus. So I don't know if that was was the smartest thing to do, but it was very funny when it happened, and it was something that they still talk about from this point on. So give us a call and let us know any stories or any memories that you have that we would be interested in. This is the International Black Summit Talk Show Radio. We'll be back in one moment.
I release and I let go. I let the spirit run my life. And my heart is open wide. Yes, I'm only here for God.
No more struggle, no more strife. With my faith I see the light. I am free in the Spirit. Yes, I'm only here for God.
We're back. This is the International Black Summit Talk Show, and I'm your host, Henrietta Bird. We're talking tonight about some of our memories from the holiday, some of the things that we share with our family and our friends and our colleagues, and things that we will always remember about holidays. The food, of course, is always something that's great to think about, but, you know, it's those times where we spend with our friends and our loved ones, and just the things that we will remember. And the fun that we've had. We have a caller. Last digits 4818.
Yes.
You're on
Hi.
The air. Who's calling?
Hi, I'm Karen from Chicago.
Oh, hi, Karen. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Good.
I'm calling. What are you talking about today?
I said we're talking about some of our memories of the holiday season. Either, you know, just things that are special to you that you remember, or funny situations, or any memory you'd like to share with our listeners.
Well, I have several memories of my Christmases as being that one of my favorite times of the year is the Christmas season, and I guess I'm thinking about when I was in college and went away to school in Florida, which was always warm. And when I came home for Christmas that year, my parents picked me up from the airport. And my mother was one of those type of mothers, just people that like to, you know, make everybody feel special, you know, and loved. So because she asked me before I came, what were the favorite things that she wanted me, that I wanted to eat for Christmas dinner? And so when I came home, of course, she had my winter coat in the car, my boots and everything ready for me, so I went got home. My room was all cleaned up and put my favorite things in my room for me, and she had everything for so we could fix the dinner together, because we used to do that when I was in high school. And she just made it special for me, being home for the holidays from college, you know, having missed all those good meals and those good sweet dishes, and she just made my visit home that year just special, just for me. I mean, yes, my brothers were there, my cousins, my uncles, you know, came to dinner and everything, but she made it special for me. And so those memories are always different for each year, but that year whole rings because my mom passed like 2 years ago, so I think about all those special things when she made Christmas mm-hmm. special for me, you know.
Yeah, that's nice. That's great.
Yeah.
When, what are your family traditions? Like, what are things that you all do every year?
Wow. Well, every year we sit around the table and have all types of conversations at the dinner table with that particular day. You know, we never eat on time. She always says, oh, 4 o'clock, it will be much later, a little later. But we would just you know, either get together as one or then group off into other parts of the house and have different political conversations, educational conversations about the current events, but just good family conversation, and of course, it would always be the most senior person in the room would tell the story about when they were a kid and when they went to school and how far they had to walk to get to school and how, you know, hard it was for them. You know, those type of history stories about your family that children need to know about their ancestors. You know, about where they grew up and what type of climate they had, or you know what it was like for them as children growing up. So we had different stories, but would always be that scene, the most eldest person in the room would tell those type of stories of when they were a kid, to just so that we would remember how easy we had it and how hard it was for them. So it wouldn't be so excuses, so to say. Like they say right now, no excuses. Well, I had that as a kid. It's no excuse for you because it was even harder for us, you know, my parents when they were young. Those type of that was our tradition.
Okay, well that's great. That's great. Thank you for sharing that with us. Do you have any funny stories that you remember?
Funny stories.
Right.
Not off the top of my head, you know. In every family, there's always an uncle or a cousin that comes in and has always been drinking someplace else, you know.
Yeah.
And they start talking about something really just stupid and just make a fool of themselves, and everybody just tries not to laugh at them too hard, you
right.
know.
Right.
It's always somebody in the family like that. That's only kind of I'm not a jokester myself. I'm not good at telling jokes, but you know, those are the funny things that I remember. Someone always just, you know, looking a little bit of fool of themselves, but in love. You know, we
right,
loved them,
right.
so we didn't make them feel bad or anything like that. That's all I can think of. My father was the type of man who always tried to be the party person, come in with the pipe or cigar in his mouth and crack jokes on people.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not a jokester, so I can't share any good jokes.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
So much for sharing that with us.
I'd like to hear some other good stories.
You'd like
anybody
to hear,
else out there?
Yeah.
Yes.
Hold on 1 minute. Just hold on. 3838. You're on the air. Hello? Hello?
Oh, hey.
Hi.
How you doing? I didn't recognize the last four digits.
Okay. Oh, wait, and Karen, who just called in who's on, she's still on the air listening. She said she would like to hear some funny stories. Well, this is the comedian, the International Black Summit comedian,
okay.
calling in. So I'm sure she'll have something to share with us.
Well, we're looking at favorite holidays.
Uh-huh, favorite holiday memories.
Memories. Okay, well, you know, we're not going to bet money. It was funny, but it was a favorite of mine. I grew up in Chicago. I'm now in California.
Okay.
But I grew up in Chicago in the 50s, and one of my favorite times is actually watching Nat King Cole do his Christmas holiday on television. Now, we know Diane Carroll was, you know, the first black woman to have a series.
Mm-hmm.
But Nat King Cole was the first black man to have a running TV shows. And so we were watching it, and my mother always plays Christmas music. But, you know, we played a black Christmas music. You know,
mm-hmm.
We saw Santa kissing Mama under the mistletoe, mm-hmm. you know, kind of Christmas, you know, songs. And so we're watching it, you know, it comes on, we're all sitting down, and you see this beautiful chocolate black man on TV in his tuxedo, and he's got the Christmas tree, you know,
uh-huh.
just the whole beautiful, like a white living room with the beautiful fireplace and the fire going, and you know he's known for singing that Christmas song, Chestnuts.
That's the name of it.
Right, yes. So he's singing that, and I'm all proud. You know, we're sitting there in our little jammies. And then he goes over and he puts milk and cookies on the fireplace for Santa. Now, what did he do that for? For the next 10 years, we was putting milk and cookies on the fireplace for Santa Claus.
Yep.
We saw that on TV, and a black man was doing it.
Black man doing it.
Yeah, we wasn't thinking about it. Some white man coming down in a red and white suit in a black neighborhood that he normally won't walk in. But we were doing milk and cookies for Santa. So that, you know, even though I joke about it, you know, it really filled my heart because I could see me on TV.
Yeah.
And I could see him celebrating a holiday that we were celebrating. And I just remember, you know, my mother sitting there with us and, you know, we're asking her questions, and it was just like a really nice connection. And even though I'm a big Kwanzaa celebrator,
mm-hmm.
I still have that memory. That's still a very, very warm and favorite memory for me about Christmas.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. Are you a tree person. Do you put trees up?
Well, not now, but back in the day, let's see, I started celebrating Kwanzaa in the 70s. So before 70s, I didn't have children, but when we grew up, you know, in my home, we did the Christmas tree. I remember when we did the first, what do you call it, the aluminum tree. You know, for many years you did the, you know, natural tree. But, you know,
right.
when you get modern and you in the big time, oh, you got to get the silver aluminum tree. And so that was interesting to me. And also the flocking of trees.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
That
made
was
a
very
complete
interesting.
Mess.
Yeah.
They messed
you know.
Up everything.
And I just love it. You know, black people would have chartreuse trees, you know.
That's right.
You know,
every
24 karat gold trees, you know. Just have a tree with a little flocking snow on it. You know, we just went through the extreme.
Yep.
Right. I have a friend who puts her tree up right after Thanksgiving, and she, you know, she does the ornaments and everything until Christmas, and then after Christmas, she changes the ornaments and puts pictures of Martin Luther King on it.
Wow.
And she keeps that on there until Martin Luther King's birthday in January. And then she changes and puts hearts on from that day until Valentine's Day.
Oh, my
and
goodness.
Then she changes, and she keeps her tree up like 6 months. You know,
oh
she
my.
Does it. I think she takes it down at Easter.
Wow.
She does, you know, she does the, in March, she does the St. Patrick's things, and, you know, she just changes the decorations every month.
Wow.
And I thought that one, I had never heard of that, you know, before. But,
that means getting bang for your buck.
Hey.
That's right. That's right. Are you a live tree person, Karen, or
live tree. We've always done live trees. Now that my children are getting older, I think I might get a different type of tree, but I've always loved the scent of live trees.
Uh-huh.
Tradition. Another family tradition.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, how do you pick them? Like, how do you pick a good Christmas tree since you've been getting live ones every year?
I try to go early where you can get a good selection. I like mine full and tall, and just you got to unwrap them and shake them and stand them up so you can make sure that they're nice and full instead of just taking them already wrapped. You know, and sometimes they're wrapped in the twine. I like them, the thick needles, not the little thin. Well, no, you know, I'm not a specialist at it or anything, but, you know, the different needles, some aren't as prickly, don't hurt you. They're softer, and those are the ferns. I'm not sure, but the softer ones are better because they don't hurt as much when you're going to put the ornaments on the trees and everything. So they're fuller. The leaves are just fuller. Yeah.
You sound like you could do, Karen, you sound like you could do a Christmas tree hotline.
Right. Right. Because I'm like, we always had trees too, but I didn't know anything like that. You know, I know you could fit yourself, but I didn't know that, it, you know, there was a certain kind of needle.
Yeah,
you know,
different needles are just, they're softer. They cost more, of course, but And then you can go someplace, you can go and cut down your own Christmas tree. You know, you take the kids, make a family event out of it down like in Indiana or just further south in Illinois, where they have all the trees and they'll go chop them out down for you, that you pick up the one that you want. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We used to do that, too, with the kids when they were young. I have a 24 and a 20-year-old. The nephew the same as my son, and we would take them down and just have a day of it with the kids. So a lot of fun. Fun memories, good memories. Christmas time, going sledding, you know, doing your Christmas break, my dad would take us sledding. Hello?
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Oh. Take us sledding, you know, and that's always a lot of fun, Christmas time of the year, too. Christmas break from school. Take the kids,
now,
I do the same thing.
You gotta say more about sledding. See, I'm here in California. I don't know what that means.
You never did it when you were here in Chicago?
No.
Oh.
I lived like when I was like 8, and we need to use that.
Well, in Chicago, certain neighborhoods over in the Beverly area, they have these tall hills. So when the snow is out, it's a lot of snow for you to put a snow sled on. Some areas, it's like a park. It's like we have our park districts here in Chicago. So they have the hills prepared for the kids and families to come out to go sledding or tobogganing. And it's just an event for you to take your kids to do on a Saturday or school when, day when school is out. And everybody's out sledding and tobogganing with their kids. It's big fun. Big fun. The adults go too, you know.
Yeah, it is. It's, we did it.
Tall hill, like what, 30 feet tall? I don't know. How tall would you say they are, Henrietta?
I don't know, but they're almost a block. Like, it's almost a block high.
Right, right.
You know, it's as high as a block is long.
Right.
And you just get your toboggan or your sled and go to the top of it and, you know.
Actually, they have toboggans already out there, but you bring your own sled.
Right,
you know,
right.
Right. Well, they did back then. What they do now, I'm not sure. But you take your own sled. Hey, it's a field day.
Right.
It's fun.
Yeah. And there's another place out in Blue Island where you can go, and there's smaller ones when your children are smaller. That's a little bit easier to go to because the ones where we went in Dan Ryan Woods, those are steep. You know,
right.
You really kind of have to know what you're doing when you get on those. And we would race and get two or three people on one sled at a time.
Yeah.
You know, that's a great.
And then you see the adults out there doing it too. They're like, they have just as much fun as the kids. So yeah,
right.
Big fun.
Yeah, another Chicago tradition is ice skating.
Right.
That's usually something we do a lot during the holiday. You know, and that's a lot of fun and skiing, you know, and you don't have to ski, you know. I mean, we have as much fun just sitting and watching.
Right, watching other people come back.
Right.
How they fail or didn't fall out good, you know, brag about how good they did do or, sit around the fire.
Yeah.
Drinking hot chocolate. Yeah, that's a nice tradition, too, on the holiday.
We have, hold on one moment. This is International Black Summit Talk Show. And I'm your host, Henrietta. And I'm on with Chikasha from California and Karen from Chicago. We have another caller, our last four digits, 7817. You're on the air. Hello?
Hi, this is Glenn. How are you guys doing? I had to jump in when you guys started talking about sledding and stuff.
Okay.
That's one of my favorite things to do in the wintertime. And, of course, I used to take my daughter sledding all the time. And that was, we'd spend hours. We'd bundle up and make sure we had some nice gloves and hats and scarves on. And then I'd take her to a little spot, and we'd have, like, one of those little circular ones, or we'd have actually sled, and we'd go sliding for, you know, till our hands were numb.
Yep.
Right. Something had to be numb. That's right.
You know. Like,
for you to stop. Right.
It's time. Let's go get some cocoa or something to go back home and warm up.
Right.
You'll also mess the skin. And one of the things that I used to ski a lot back in the 90s, and one of my friends told me about the Black Skiers Association, and they actually go skiing. They pick a site and go skiing every other year. So this particular year was out in Utah, and we went out to Utah, and you talk about the brothers and the sisters, styling and profiling with the ski gear.
Okay.
Oh my goodness! I was functional. I had my little gear and whatnot, but they had people. Most of them women, not all, but most of them women. And all they would do would sit around the bar,
right,
in their ski gear, and they'd
Yeah, that would be me.
And then the rest of us that were actually out on the hill would come in for a break to warm up, which was fun too. But you talk about seeing black folks in I don't know if well let me back up. So if you've never skied, skiing has been mostly a white sport for a long time, and to see thousands of black folks on this mountain skiing was phenomenal.
Phenomenal.
And of course all the colors that we would bring in our ski gear that would definitely distinguish us
from everybody else.
From everybody else in the mountain.
You know the black skiers.
The black skiers, that's right, baby. And that was something that was, you know, and then on the last day, they did a thing where everybody went up to the top and started coming down at the same time.
Oh
my God.
Wow.
Oh, that was,
excuse me. It was amazing. It was just amazing.
I know when Glenn came on and started talking about taking his daughter sledding. As soon as you said, I took my daughter sleighing, the memory popped for me, one of my favorite memories. So like I said, I grew up in Chicago until I was 8.
Mm-hmm.
And it must have been the year I was 7 that my father bought my sister and I a Swin bicycle.
Back in the day,
the Swin bicycles were like the Michael Jordan's of tennis shoes.
Right, I remember that.
And so we lived in the projects, and you know how those projects had those huge circles?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a circle, probably the circumference of it, because you could probably park 400 cars in that circle. That's how big that circle was. You know, you change zip codes walking on that circle. So we're out there with the bike. Now, my sister and I don't know how to ride bikes. And this is the beauty of my dad. My dad walked us all around that circle, holding the back of the bicycle. And I mean, like you said, you know how kids are. You know, he took us, two of us. If he took us around 1-5, he got to take the other 5, right?
Right.
And we started in daylight.
Mm-hmm.
And when we finished, like you said, it was dusk, and we were frozen. We were like icicles. And my father was like, no, I got to take you guys upstairs. And I remember being so cold, but like, I'm going to get the ride around the circle next time. And then when we went upstairs, you know, like you said, you're in all of these scarves and snowsuits. I remember we got out, and my mother had a tub with, it seemed like scalding water, because that's what you need.
Mm-hmm.
And you get in that hot tub, and you just sit there and defrost. And I remember sitting in that tub going, my daddy is the best in the world. Let us ride our bicycles. So that's a thank you, Glenn. That just, I hadn't thought about that in years.
Yeah, you made, Glenn, you made me think about something that we always did, a tradition in my neighborhood when I grew up in Chicago also, and the neighborhood, we did everything as a neighborhood. You know, one child did something, every child that age, you know, or in that age group, and we had an ice skating rink that was not, maybe 2 blocks from our house, the block that we lived on, and so we would go there on a regular basis, but on New Year's Eve, the people on our block who were Catholic, of the Catholic faith, they had to go to midnight mass. And when we became teenagers, you know, that was like how we got out the house. Okay, we're going to midnight mass, you know, and then
so religious.
Right. And that was our out, you know, we're going to midnight mass with whoever, you know, the 3 or 4 Catholic people that were on the block. They would get us out of the house, and so we would go to mass at this big church. Actually, it's the church where Obama was on Thanksgiving.
St. Calvinus.
The day before, St. Calvinus.
Calvinus, right.
Where they showed him, you know, helping with the food distribution.
Mm-hmm.
And we would go in that church at 10:30, and honest to God, it smelled like a distillery because everybody had been drinking before they got there. And I can just remember every year we would go, you know, get out the house, but we'd have to sit through the mass, and then we could, you know, it was just walking those two blocks that we looked forward to, because that's really all we were doing, was walking two blocks up there and two blocks back. That was our, you know, that was our out, but we got to stay out past midnight, you know. And it was a neighborhood, you know, a neighborhood function. It was, you know, so simple then. The simple things, you know.
Yeah.
Are there any, Glenn, you're in New Jersey or New York?
I'm in New York.
In New York. Are there New York traditions? You know, I know Chicago, like last Wednesday, I think it was, they have a celebration of lights where they light, you know, where they light up all the things on the Magnificent Mile, you know, and it's just lights, really. That's all it is. But is there, you know, like a New York tradition other than the Macy's Parade? I know.
Yeah, well, yeah, we actually have the lighting of Rockefeller Center.
Okay.
And that's probably going to be this Wednesday, and that's usually a major event. It's usually like a 40 or 50 foot tree, and they selected about mid September or August. You know, they actually go out and look for different trees to select, and then they cut it about a week ago or so, and then they ship it up and then have it waiting, and then they decorate it, and then they raise it and light it.
Mm-hmm.
Like the first week in December.
Okay.
So that's like a major, you know, that's a major thing, because that's like, and we have the skating rink that's right there as well.
Right,
so
So the
Christmas tree is kind of towering over it, and then you see that in the background, and then you see the, so that's one of the, you know, the traditions. One of the other traditions is Saks Fifth Avenue. It's one of the oldest and, you know, right on Fifth Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
They have a Christmas display for the children that is usually off the chain. I mean, they're known for their displays.
Okay.
With, like, window displays?
Yes, the
you
window
mean like
displays.
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
The window display,
yes.
Like Marshall
yes.
Field.
Like Marshall
Field
had
yes.
in Chicago.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. It would probably be comparable to that as well, yeah. Because they dedicate the whole Fifth Avenue display to that.
And
it's intricate. And every year you're wowed. You know, it's just amazing. And, you know, they're outdoing themselves each year. And I can't imagine how much money they spend on it, because it's phenomenal. But again, you've got people that are walking by it that,
right.
you know, all year long, because you have all those out-of-town visitors coming through. And so that's one of the sights to see.
Right.
You know, and then the other pieces are you know, the chestnuts roasting. We actually have carts, you know, street carts that are roasting the chestnuts.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And so you're just walking around, and you could smell the roasted, you know, and then you don't want to break into song.
Okay. So Tricacia, what is Christmas like in California? Tricacia?
Yeah, I was on mute.
Oh, okay. Because when we think about it, you know, just to think that it could be 80 degrees on Christmas Day is unheard of.
Right. Well, I wasn't thinking there was anything here, you know. I tell you, really the joy of the holidays are having little children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my children are now 30 and in their late 20s. And for the last, 6 Christmas Kwanzaa, it's just not fun, you know, because mm-hmm. I really saw I did a lot of things during the holidays when my children were at home.
Right.
But when listening to Glenn again, he made me remember one of the big things in California, especially like the Los Angeles area, there's streets where people decorate their homes, and they do all this decoration on the yard where people will come in cars for, you know, like you have a car, you know, you have to go real slow. You can't, you know, it's a traffic jam because we're looking at the houses. And, I mean, it's blocks and blocks. So at one time they called it, what was it called, like Candyland or Toyland. And it would just be beautiful, like Christmas and Toyland scenes on people's yards. And as the years and as our animation and technology increased, you started having the animated Santas and the lit up reindeers and
reindeers,
lights everywhere.
Right.
And but it's like some kid, my parents would put us in the car, and we would go to it was certain certain side of town, if this, and we would go and get in the car, and it'd be like maybe like an hour and a half ride to look at all of the houses.
Mm-hmm.
And it was free. Mm-hmm. It was just the cost of gas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we would do the same thing in Chicago. Mm-hmm. My father would be coming home from someplace. He would say, oh, I'm going to take the long way home and just go down different blocks and different areas and see all the different decorations that people would have in their yards and their houses. And we'd go, ooh and ah, just simple fun, like you say, the cost of gas, you know.
That's great.
Well, I wanted to have a little Kwanzaa time too, because I celebrate Kwanzaa, and because I started in the late 70s, my daughter was born in 78, so she's celebrated Kwanzaa every year of her life, but at that time it wasn't that popular, and so of course my kids wanted to do Christmas, not Kwanzaa, right, because their kids, their friends are talking about Christmas. So, like, I had to really make Kwanzaa, you know, like, be off the chain.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I didn't have a lot of money, right?
Okay.
So I would just create activities for every day. And we would give, what do you call it, kawaties, toy, you know, gifts every day. And then I created rituals. And we had this one ritual that I really loved, where we would put out our canara, which is the candles. And just before the kids would light the candles, each of my kids have different fathers. So they would, I taught them like their family tree, you know, what do you call it, your family tree? So they would stand, they would start with their great-grandparents. They would say, great-grandmother Rosemary met great-grandfather Charlie Neal. They were married and had, and then they named all their children. And then they said, and from that union came my grandmother and blah, blah. And they just go through each of their family line until they come to their self.
Wow.
And then, you know, and each of them would do it. And it was just beautiful. You know, at first they couldn't remember. You have to kind of coach them. And then I remember the years they'd be like, I know it, Mama, I'm going to do it. And then when my daughter had her child and we had a Kwanzaa at her house, it was like beautiful to hear her come to herself and then create her family line of leading to her, to my grandson. So, you know, that's just something we created that was really special. And just doing activities every day. We went places, you know, like a movie, just something. It wasn't expensive, but we did it every year for that week. And my children looked forward. They didn't let me miss it. That whatever tradition I started, honey, they made sure I kept it every year. So by January the 2nd, I'd be wiped out. Because every day we was doing something.
Great. This is International Black Summit Talk Show. Those are great traditions and great memories. You know, that's really something to look forward to. I had a really interesting experience today, you know, it being the holiday weekend and everyone was home. And because it's the fifth Sunday, it was Youth Sunday, so the youth did the entire service at church today. And two of them are members of the Chicago Children's Choir, and when they got up to speak, they talked about when the Chicago Children's Choir celebrated its 50th anniversary. Instead of them going to other countries, they decided to tour the civil rights states, the places where major events had taken place, and they talked about their experience in Selma, Alabama. And it was, oh my God, it almost brought tears to your eyes to listen to these two teenagers. They're seniors, both of them, who spoke. And they talked about going to the bridge in Selma, Alabama, and the experiences and I guess that the tour guide had. So they talked about that, you know, and we went on with the service. Well, after the service, a friend of mine asked me to come over and meet her aunt and uncle. And her uncle, they're both from New York, but her uncle is a Tuskegee Airman. And he was so excited about the two youth that spoke, he asked me if there was any way possible that he could get a chance to speak with them. Well, church was over, and so I didn't really know if they were still in the building. I couldn't find them. But anyway, I walked around until I found them, and I called them back on the cell phone, and he came to meet them. And those two children were just in awe of the stories that the man told. Not only was he a Tuskegee Airman, he was from Selma, Alabama. And he talked about walking across that bridge every day and, you know, doing the things. And so it was like, and then there was a crowd, you know, of people that just started to, you know, collect around him and listen to these stories he was telling, you know, after church. So this is one of my most memorable Sundays, you know, in a holiday season. Just for him to meet all of these people and for those youth to, you know, to actually have been, you know, in his hometown and have that experience. But they were so glad to meet him, as glad as he was to meet them, you know. So it was really nice today. We have about 3 more minutes left. Is there anything else anybody would like to share?
Well, this is Tricacia. One thing I'd like just to share real shortly, briefly, is one of the things about the International Black Summit that we speak of is the conversation, is that we're actually, the International Black Summit is being the vessel to continue to carry the conversation of the International Black Summit. And as we think about what we shared tonight, you notice that none of the things we shared was about material things, but conversations and the conversations of our lives and our families. So, you know, that kind of gives some connection to what we mean when we say this is a conversation.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Karen?
Oh, I just want to say thanks for sharing your stories. They always, you know, thanks for sharing your stories. Wonderful memories for us to share with others.
Yeah.
It helped.
And Glenn?
It's always a pleasure to live in the possibility of positive and empowering conversation. And that's what the International Black Summit is, and that's what this show's about. So just thank you for hosting the show and for creating some empowerment in my day.
Great. Hey. Well, thank you so much. Thank everyone for being on and everyone that will listen to it. We wish you a happy holiday. We also invite you to tune in next Sunday where we'll be playing and sharing some of your favorite Christmas music, not just Christmas music, but holiday music. And you know, call in and talk to us about the songs that you love and we'll see if we can play them for you or if you have them and you can send them to us ahead of time. That'll be great. But, you know, music is major during this holiday season, so we thought we would take a look at some of the greatest, you know, some of the great music that's been written, you know, lately. And way back, too, because the one Chakaysha talked about, the Christmas song, is a favorite, of course, for everyone. So thanks again for a wonderful conversation. Remember, the International Black Summit event is the first weekend in August 2009 in London, England. The registration date for early bird registration is it ends December 31st, 2008. You can register after that date, but the early bird registration, which is $150 only, and that's for the entire 4 days, Thursday through Sunday. That's for the conversation. But, you know, you can always contact us at blacksummit.org for any questions or comments that you have to make. And that's it. Thank you again. This is Henrietta. Thank you to Glenn, Chakaysha, and Karen for calling in and sharing. And remember our declaration. Good night from International Black Summit Radio.
I release and I let go. I let the spirit run my life. And my heart is open wide. Yes, I'm only here for God.
Glenn?